Today, we're off to the Pacific Northwest, to the home of Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, and Humpy the Salmon. It smells like T-Mobile Park, home of the Mariners, this week on Ballpark Road Trip. This is Ballpark Road Trip. If you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on the show, we will be traveling around to each major league city, talking to locals who know their home ballparks inside and out. Hello, and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and today we are in Seattle to check out the former Safeco Field, nowadays known as T-Mobile Park. I first visited Seattle in 1996 when I was a junior in high school. I went on a college trip with my dad to visit University of Washington, and we caught a game at the Old Kingdom, my very first indoors baseball game. I talked a little about that in season one. Now, Safeco opened in 1999, but I didn't make it back up to Seattle to see a game until my brother graduated from college in 2006. He was going to Evergreen College in Olympia, Washington, and, you know, since I was going to be in the same state, it was the perfect time to knock off a stadium. So, I started a road trip from Oakland, driving up Highway 5. I stopped in Ashland, Oregon along the way for a play at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, stopped for lunch the next day in Portland, and made it to Olympia for his graduation. After all the festivities, we went on a little day trip up to Seattle to see the A's and the Mariners play. I got us tickets somewhere between sections 213 and 216. I don't know exactly where, my memory isn't what it used to be, but I remember sitting in the second deck down the right field line, maybe even in the right field corner. Seats were good for being in my price range, I remember that's why I got them. And I spent half the game walking around the ballpark exploring anyway. I enjoyed the game and I liked the stadium. I remember thinking for a long time that it was underrated and a hidden gem. But as years went on and I visited other parks, my appreciation for the Mariners ballpark faded, and I think I kind of took it for granted as just another good late 90s ballpark. I recently did a ranking of my top 10 ballparks, and I didn't include T-Mobile Park. I got a little flack for that online. When I say a little flack, I mean three people commented saying Seattle should be in my top 10. I have a very robust online presence. Anyway, I started thinking maybe they were right. Let's face it, I cave very easily to peer pressure. Maybe I had just forgotten how much I liked T-Mobile Park. Now, for the past few years, I have been working as a tour director, taking people on bus trips around the country, maybe from Yellowstone to Mount Rushmore, or maybe a week in the Southwest, doing the Grand Canyon and Zion and Bryce Canyons, things like that. The reason I'm telling you this is because last year, in 2024, my job started sending me up to Seattle to do tours from Seattle down the Oregon coast, through the Redwoods in Northern California, and finishing in San Francisco. Coincidentally, I happened to be starting a tour in Seattle during the Mariners' last weekend of the season. It was also the very last series for the Oakland A's in their history. Sunday, the final day of the season, was also the last on-the-field appearance for Ricky Henderson, who threw out the first pitch. Ricky passed away winter of 2024, months after his home team Athletics played their final game in Oakland. You know how sometimes old couples die within days of each other? I like to think that Ricky died when the Oakland A's died. Anyway, what that meant was I was in town to go to those games and to revisit T-Mobile Park. I went Saturday night and the following Sunday afternoon. I mean, it was a tough watch as a lifelong A's fan. You know, I wanted to be there, but I'd find my mind wandering to the tragedy of losing my team and feeling pretty down. I figured walking around and re-exploring the stadium was a good way to keep myself from dwelling. I also might have gotten into an argument with a fan in the row in front of me who was making cracks about Oakland. So it seemed like the right time to change seats. But I have to admit, the park cheered me up right away. They have a really great park in Seattle. I don't know if it's recency bias. I mean, it's the last park I went to. But I think I'm going to have to put T-Mobile Park back in my top 10. Maybe right at number 10, maybe 9. I don't know if it's underrated or not, because I hear people say a lot of good things about it. I would be perfectly happy if this were my home ballpark. To me, that's a big part of the whole ballpark experience. Would I be happy coming here 15 to 20 times a year? Absolutely. Super easy getting in and out, lots of places to explore and visit inside and outside the stadium, tons of food items, and good deals to make my experience a little cheaper. As a ballpark connoisseur, I lucked out going to this retractable roof ballpark. I went to two games. The first was a rainy Saturday night with the roof closed, and then my second, a sunny Sunday afternoon with the roof open. I've heard people say that T-Mobile Park is not really a retractable dome. It's more like a ballpark with a big umbrella. And I appreciated that. I had a view of the city under the roof in the outfield, and it was very airy, breezy, and comfortable. The next day, the skies were blue, the roof was open, and it became a really attractive outdoor ballpark. I was really impressed by a lot of the improvements, especially with the bullpen area in left field. They call it the T-Mobile Pen, or the T-Mobile Bullpen. It's a social space out in left field, and you can get right next to the bullpens to watch your favorite pitchers warm up. I am always a fan of ballparks that have standing room areas right by the bullpens. We're talking places like T-Mobile Park, Petco Park in San Diego, Baltimore, Camden Yards. I think that was the first one to do the tiered bullpens, and you can watch them. Philadelphia, right? Phillies have a great place where you can sit and heckle or cheer on the visiting players in their bullpen. Am I missing any others? Maybe Cleveland? I don't know. But I do like this social space out in the bullpen. I was able to get good close-up pictures of the A's stud reliever Mason Miller warming up. It was really cool. You can also go over to a big social space right behind the center field wall, which had a really great view. I almost felt like I was playing center for the Mariners. Could I? I thought the food options were great, and I took advantage of their value menus. One night, the first night, I did get a loaded baked potato or something like that, something really hearty with tons of toppings. But the next night, I just got some nachos and a red vine and a Coke from the value menu, and it came out to be under $12. But I have to say, what I like the most about T-Mobile Park is the fact that I went 2 days in a row, walked all around the park, and I still don't think I have seen everything. I feel like there are still places to explore, nooks and crannies to discover, different angles and places to sit and view the game. So I'm excited to go back. And that's what I think a ballpark really is all about. I really don't like when I go to a ballpark and it feels like I've seen everything in one game. That's how I feel sometimes with indoor ballparks that feel like giant hangars or just one big arena. But now it's time to turn to John Gunke, who is our local, to tell us why you need to visit T-Mobile Park.
T-Mobile Park.
So, John, you're from the Seattle area. Are you born and raised there, or did you move there?
I've been here since I was about 3 years old. I'm 38 now. Originally born and from Canada, from Toronto. But yeah, no, I've been a Seattle boy my whole life.
Did you ever get a chance to go to games at the Kingdome before T-Mobile and Safeco?
Oh yeah, no, that was let me see. I was about 10 when the magical 95 season happened. And leading up to that, I remember going with my neighborhood friend and sitting on the old, really, really crummy bleachers and bringing in cold hot dogs because we want to save a couple bucks.
So, about how many games do you think you go to a year?
I would say about 10 to 20, probably closer to 20.
And do you sit in the same place usually, or do you have different places that you like to sit? Where's your go-to for seating?
I am absolutely a seat hopper. I don't think but like 3 games we sat in the same spot. So that really depends on who I'm with. Typically, if I have a family of a total of 5 of us now, and all 3 of my kids love going to the games. They're ages, 7, 9, and 12. So in those cases, I'll typically buy the cheaper seats. Either our sweet spot is called the Trident deck. Which is in foul territory, third deck, left field, kind of near the foul pole. It's fairly priced. The concessions are super duper close. It's not overcrowded. Restrooms usually aren't too crowded, so it's just ideal. The thing is with me, when I have my kids, especially my younger ones, I have to work out a drug deal with them to make sure that they get some time to play in the playground in center field, and then I get time to actually watch the game. But if it's date night with my wife, I usually will go sit in the club level, which is the 200 level. You have to have special tickets for that section. But I mean, great sight lines, smaller crowds, arguably better food, but not to say that the food at the rest of the stadium is bad by any stretch.
Yeah. So that's actually a good way to talk about this. We'll try to talk about maybe, if a family is going versus maybe a couple or people just visiting. So that's great.
Perfect.
We'll kind of circle back to some family suggestions as we go along. When you're getting your tickets, do you usually go through the team site? Do you go down to the ballpark and go to the box office? Are you a secondary market person like SeatGeek and StubHub? What's the best way that you recommend for people coming into town to get tickets?
Yeah, so typically the last couple of years I've been a season ticket holder. I just broke up with them this year. I'm fed up with the ownership. I'm still going to go to games, but I'm just not season ticketing.
Yeah.
Usually I'll just go get them through the website. Just I believe in it being a lot more secure. I don't want any drama when I get to the state or stadium. But when I do use secondary ticket sites, occasionally I'll use Game Time has been pretty reliable. As well as VetTix. I'm a veteran, and that's one of the resources available to us, and you can often get tickets for dirt cheap. I actually was at Chase Field over the summer and got 2 seats for $8 behind home plate by 3 rows. Like I got to wave at Randy Johnson and
Oh, cool.
Eugenio Suarez, which was super cool.
So that's a national thing. That's not like a Seattle thing. I don't know that service, but just for those who don't know that.
Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily advertising for them, but I'm just from my own experiences.
Yeah.
They're a national donation based we or a ticket website, primarily for or exclusively for veterans. And if you see something that you like, usually you just got to pay for the transaction cost.
Cool.
It's a great way to get in there cheap.
Nice. You get your tickets, and we'll talk about where to sit later. But how do you get to the games? What do you recommend for people, or what do you do first? And then we can talk about whether that's the best for people coming into town.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, with the veteran thing, there's a Coast Guard base maybe 2 blocks away from the stadium. And if you're either an active or reserve duty cardholder or you're fully retired or fully disabled, you're able to use that. So, parking is secure and it's free and it's very walkable. And
Oh,
that's usually
nice.
how I like to go there.
Oh, nice.
But before that, parking downtown can be kind of difficult. So what a lot of people like to rely on is, especially if you're coming from the north or south side of town, is our Link Light Rail. It's our kind of transportation train. Before games, it's really simple and easy to use and really easy or nominally priced, usually like $3, I think. After games, it gets pretty crowded though. So if you have a family, I would strongly recommend, if you plan on taking the light rail, find something to do for half an hour to an hour and let it kind of filter down, especially if you're not a big fan of crowds.
You know, the light rail is great. I really like taking public transportation to ballparks. But the thing I always worry about, so I guess I should ask you now, can you buy a ticket there? Do you have to have like an app on your phone? I know that where I live in the Bay Area, you need to have the Clipper Card app on your phone and then you can tap it everywhere. It's really hard to buy single tickets. How about for the light rail in Seattle?
It's made incredibly simple for both. So you can download an app prior to. I actually don't know what that app is, just since I so rarely take it now. But I do know that at every station, you're able to buy a round trip ticket individually or a one way, and it's based off different zones. So if you park in a sort of suburby area north of the city called Northgate, that's got a huge parking garage. And you're able to buy tickets there very, very simply. And like I said, cheap. I think even kids under 12 are free.
Oh,
So
okay.
super easy to use.
Yeah. So we get to the ballpark, and you've already started telling us about some places that you like to sit. Remind me the name of the family area you were calling it, the Trident. What is it?
Yeah, the Trident Deck is up
Trident
in
Deck.
left field foul territory. And that one can be, I don't want to say dicey. It can be kind of a coin flip if there's an event going on. If there's an event going on, then they section off that area. But the seats up there are almost always completely vacant, unless it's like a big marquee, like opening day.
Is that like a social space that you can hang out
Yeah.
there?
Yeah. You can get, which is really great if it's open for everybody. Where your kids can kind of run around. There's couches there. There's hard alcohol served in there if that's your thing. And great standing and sitting options for viewing the game.
And that's in kind of like the left field corner up there on third deck, correct?
Correct.
All right, great. So let's say someone doesn't have kids, because we'll talk about where to walk around and places to visit in a little bit. And you mentioned the second deck. The is that kind of club seating, as you
Yeah.
said? All right. Anywhere else that you would either recommend or not recommend? You're like, you know what? Actually, these are some seats to avoid. And usually, I like to keep it, you know, away from first deck behind home plate. We all know that we like to sit, you know, right behind home plate. So, where else in the stadium do you like the view from or think we should avoid?
So that's one of the beautiful things about T-Mobile Park is they advertise it, and it is really truly as advertised. There's no really bad seats in the park. I think what I really like about T-Mobile, especially over the other 10 parks that I've seen now, is that it's very walkable to everywhere. There's very few restricted areas where you can't go and check something out. So as far as seating goes, especially if it's me and just some other adult friends, center field and the outfield has the best options. You have Lookout Landing, which is all of center field, so you're fairly close to Julio. It's standing room only out there. You're right next to the bullpens. In fact, when my son was like two, we had one of the relievers, or for I think it may have been Charlie Furbush, handed him a game-used ball like at the end of the game, and my son, being two, almost threw it into center field. So thank goodness I held on to that one. But yeah, you can see both home and opposing bullpens actively working, and you're within a sneeze of them. There's Edgar's Cantina, which has two top and a bottom deck, and almost always one of them is open. But you'll often get home run balls hit into there with great view of the entire stadium. And I think one kind of trick that people don't know that I'll happily share here is that we also have the Hit It Here Cafe in right field, so second deck right field. That is a section that you can buy tickets for, or before the game, you can sit down there and they have full service seated food and drinks and beverage options. But if it's a particularly kind of slow game, so if you're catching a midweek game, typically they won't have sold many of those tickets. And after a couple innings, they'll let you just sit there, you know, for the price of whatever it is that you're going to buy and drink. And, you know, that's no more marked up than anywhere else in the stadium.
That's cool. I'm looking at the seating chart as you talk it here. And so anyone who is kind of following along, it's good to have the seating chart because yeah, you can see the Hit It Here Cafe and out in the outfield. And when I was there earlier this year, you know, I visited that area. They're calling it the T-Mobile Pen now, the T-Mobile
Yes.
Pen, right? Where you go down some stairs and you can see the bullpens. And yeah, that center field area, what did you call that? Like lookout landing? Is that what you called
Yeah,
that?
so that porch right there up against the par or against the fence is called Lookout Landing, and then
Yeah.
there's an entire area just behind it called the T-Mobile Pen, where you can see things in the bullpen. They have really good. That's actually where you're probably going to find the premium eats. As far as like really, really solid local Seattle style type food and beers.
Right. I really like that area. I was able to go right up against the bullpens and you know, watch them warming up. And when you're out in that lookout landing, it almost feels like you're patrolling center field. Like you look at the area that you're the view that you're getting is right behind your center fielder. So it's fantastic. You're right. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about food. You talk about some Seattle favorites. What would you think is something that you can find at T-Mobile Park in Seattle that you should try to get there that you can't really get other places in the country?
Yeah, so unfortunately, my favorite one is hit or miss, and they only really bother opening it on bigger games. So if you're there on a Friday or Saturday night, you might have a good chance. It's called the Wayback Crab Shack in center field on the second deck. So the main concourse, really, it's above the T-Mobile Pen. And yeah, they have wonderful crab sandwiches. They're fresh crab caught that is just, you know, out from the Alaskan water, so really close to us. And that's a fantastic place if you're a seafood person. You know, in Seattle, that's kind of what we're known for. You know, in the Penn, though, you have a lot of other really good options too. Little Woody's Burgers is just a solidly made hamburger and fries. Like, I absolutely recommend it. And then the other one would be Odd Pizza. So, not Mod, but Odd, ODD. And you can find that, I believe, in the Penn as well as a couple other places in the park. You'd have to look at it. Some parks are kind of hit or miss for their ballpark app. T-Mobile has it pretty figured out. But what it is basically, you know, like a foot-long kind of French bread almost style pizza, but like Detroit style crust. But it's insanely popular. People absolutely lose their minds for it. And then behind home plate, you also have a really good selection. Like I think we have Din Tai Fung, Taiwanese
Oh,
food,
yeah.
and there, of course, Seattle, so there's sushi.
Right.
And once upon a time, we used to have chili flavored crickets, which I haven't seen for a few years. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not missing terribly.
We had tequila lime crickets at the Oakland Coliseum for a couple years, but that was before the pandemic. And yeah, I tried those a few times. Those were great. For those who are like you and maybe bringing a family, when you come with your family, do you do anything to cut down costs of food? Are you allowed to bring in your own food or do you go anywhere beforehand to get full so you don't have to pay as much? What do you do if you're trying to save money?
Yeah, sure. So normally, yeah, you can bring in food. You know, I bring in. You know, usually we hit up the store and buy. My kids, we call them Lickies and Chewies. So you know, all my kids pick out like one candy, and you know, we bag a bag of peanuts or whatever. And you know, unopened water bottles are cool to bring in. Like everywhere else, they have the clear bag policy. But if you're, you know, a new mom and dad and you have a diaper bag, you can check that in the stadium without extra charge. But actually, I wait to eat in the park nowadays. So in the last couple of years, T-Mobile has really made an effort to make things more affordable for us. So they have a Super Saver type of menu where all the rolling roof cafes, which you know, there's usually like five or six per deck, you can find like the Mariners hot dog for like $3. Red Ropes for like $2. You can get the nice thing about the sodas there is that, we buy several souvenir cups throughout the season and then just reuse them every game that we go to.
You
And
have
that's
those self-serve fountain drink kinds of things around the stadium?
exactly. And yeah, because everything's cheap enough and, they have kid options too. My son is one of the pickiest eaters of all time. So the fact that they have Uncrustables available and only a couple dollars is a lifesaver for me.
Oh, cool. That's fun. Yeah, I was remembered. I think I utilized the value menu or the bargain menu a lot while I was there. Whether it was for my nachos or my Red Ropes, but yeah, that's a great option for people. And those are all around the stadium, right? You can get those on all decks, all different sections around the stadium.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, they've recently in the last 2 years implemented what's called a walk-off market. And what that is, if you haven't seen that in your ballpark yet, is it's an AI-driven market where you simply scan your card, your palm, if you're that into the technology. Your group goes in front of you, and then you all just go and pull stuff off the shelves that you're looking for, and then walk on out. I remember for a playoff game or a playoff game for Mariners, sorry, for an almost getting to a playoff game, I waited 3.5 innings for a beer and a slice of pizza. And by the time, like, I'd realized how long it was going to take, I was too committed. Nowadays, with a walk-off, I literally will get up from my seat, go to it, grab myself a couple of hot dogs and a popcorn and a couple beers, and I'll be back in my seat by the second batter.
All right, so tell me how often, percentage-wise, would you say you go to games and the roof is open versus the roof is closed?
That's really a time of year thing for us. So I would say more open than not, generally
Okay.
speaking. I wouldn't say 51 to 49. I would say probably like three quarters of the time. Summers are exceptional here. That's how we trick people into wanting to live here. As they come in July or August, they're like, this is what it's like all the time. And we're like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
We definitely, those early springtime games can be kind of soggy, especially cold with the water, with the Puget Sound right there. You have the cold wind coming off of the water. But I would say mostly if you're there between May and mid-September, more often than not, the roof will be open.
Would you say the neighborhood around the ballpark, which has, some eateries, some bars, some different places that you can go, would you say that it is more hopping when the weather is nice or when everyone needs a place to kind of be inside before the game?
I would say it's definitely more hopping when it's nice out. Obviously Seattle, we're experienced wet weather people and beer drinkers, so there's plenty of halls. Actually, just recently in the last a year or two, they opened up across the street from the left field entrance is called the Hatback, and it's actually got like four names, which is fairly annoying, but. They have a restaurant and a brewery there, as well as what's called Victory Hall. And it's this huge open space where they'll have events going on, kid-friendly things like cornhole and giant four or Connect Four. And one really cool point of history for that is that it's called the Hatback in a nod to Ken Griffey Jr. And it actually goes a little deeper.
Oh, yeah.
And so it goes a little deeper than that too with Steelhead Alley. So the Seattle Steelheads were the Seattle Negro League team for 1 year, but they were enough to leave their mark. So we have part of that eatery brewery dedicated to the history of baseball for people of color. So you see some things from the Steelhead era. You see things like from the Kansas City Monarchs. You see stuff from Ichiro and Felix Hernandez. And they even took it one step further by having the first black-owned brewery providing the beer for this location. So it's super cool. You get a lot of really cool history out of it. And the food is absolutely awesome. Like, usually you go in, you pay $20 for a personal pizza, and you feel a little ripped off. But Every time I go there, it's a great pre or post place to go. Or if you can't get in, just watch the game in there.
That's cool. And that's right across the street from, looks like the left field gate. That's right, off
Correct.
First
Yeah,
Street.
on First and Royal Brougham.
So, speaking of First, I don't know if it's First Street or if it's the street Occidental next to the, Lumen Field, but I feel like when I approached the ballpark from that way, there was a bunch of stuff happening out there. There were maybe some food carts, maybe there were some other establishments. Is that a good place to approach the game and go to beforehand, or are there other little neighborhoods or areas that would be even better than that?
So, absolutely. That's a great point. So, going real quick back to the light rail, if you're coming from the north, or I suppose either direction,
I'm going to say that some people are going to be staying downtown. Like they've chosen a hotel kind of by the public, or not the public market, but the marketplace or whatnot. And so let's say they're coming from the north. What would your suggestion be?
Sure. So, if you're in the Pike Place area market, you're coming from the north. The ballpark's located in Soto, south downtown. So you'll want to get off at the International District Chinatown stop rather than Stadium, for that exact reason that you pointed out of Occidental Avenue. So Occidental runs right along Lumen Field into T-Mobile Park. And up and down this, you have the Seahawk and Sounders team store. But more than that, you have street hot dog vendors all up and down. Our claim to fame is the Seattle dog. And how you have it can vary a little bit, but the base of it is you have your hot dog, you have your grilled onions and your cream cheese. I like to throw a little sriracha on there too.
Oh.
And oh God, that thing hits every time for me. Like I usually get it with a hot link rather than a Polish dog, but yeah, it's great. But there's a bunch of different bars and kid-friendly things and adult-friendly things to do up and down Occidental leading into the park. And yeah, if you're there and it's nice, go walk through there. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it seems like a nice atmosphere down there before the game. Actually, when I was down there, I was walking to the game and they must have had a Sounders game next door. That's what they're called, the Sounders, the football
Yes.
or the soccer team. And because they had some kind of chant, there were all kinds of fans following a leader through the street, on their way. So.
Oh yeah, the march to the match. Yeah, I've done that too. So I'm an equal opportunity Seattle guy. I love my Hawks, my Sounders, my Crackheads, and my Mariners. And so they actually start in an area just north of Occidental and Lumen Field called Pioneer Square. Pioneer Square unfortunately gets a pretty bad rap because there's a large density of homeless people there. And with that comes people that are having struggles with mental or drug issues, and that translates to violence sometimes. If that's something that is a particular concern for you, I would strongly recommend if it's a nice day in the middle of the day, go for it. It's almost always pretty darn safe down there. There's usually a couple cops walking around and the safety number and people. It's when you get a little later in the night when it's kind of bar and club hours. That it could get a little dicey, and if that's something that is a concern for you, stay away.
But to be clear, there are bars and club area, like that area is an
Oh, for
area where
sure.
people will be going down. It's not an area that people avoid. It's just
Exactly
you
right.
might see some more, as the night gets later and the drinks start flowing. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. No, they have some bars in there from Seattle's Pioneer days,
Oh,
from
okay.
when we were the jump off to the Alaska Gold Rush. They have bars that are from that era.
So let's go to traditions and atmosphere for the Mariners. I always ask for all the ballparks. Number one, can visiting fans feel free to wear their home colors at a Mariners game without
Oh,
being hassled?
absolutely. Absolutely. No, so I've been to plenty of different ballparks, and even if you're an Astros fan, which is our declared number one hate love or love to hate them relationship, you could even wear that and you might get like a little zinger thrown at you, but almost I think I've seen like once where two guys started getting a little frisky with each other, but they were both kind of shiny shirt bro idiots, and they were both pretty drunk. So,
So let's say people want to walk around during the game. They want to go visit the bullpen or see some of the other social spaces. Are there any half innings where they shouldn't go around because there's something fun happening, you know, in-game entertainment, whether it's on the scoreboard or whether it's happening in the ballpark?
So, yeah, absolutely. There, and I'm afraid you can't quote me on this because, well, it may change between next year, but I believe it's in between the third inning, we have the salmon races. So kind of like every other ballpark now has a costume, mascot, race around the outfield ring. We have King Salmon, Humpy, Sockeye, and I can't remember, Pinky, I think, or the Chinook. And one
Chinook,
of them looks
right.
like a Tech Bro, and one of them looks like a Grunge Rocker. So they really play into the Seattle thing. That's usually pretty fun to watch. My kids love it. My wife and I get inappropriately like competitive with the hydroplane races they have in the sixth inning halfway through. I'm a diehard green boat fan. She's a red boat fan, and nobody likes yellow. And then, of course, the seventh inning stretch. Our thing was we used to have Louie Louie, and the reason why we had Louie Louie was that we played it one dime on the Kingdome just randomly in the seventh inning. And that game, I think Randy Johnson got a no-hitter. So after that, the Mariners are like, we're not messing with this. We need this as our song. So now that we've had that drought for so long, we switched to another local guy, Macklemore, and started doing Can't Hold Us. But towards the end of last year, there was that whole political fallout with Macklemore. So they changed it to Hot Dogs from Heaven. So they started playing Heaven is a Place on Earth and throwing these really delicious hot dogs with parachutes from the upper deck down onto the lower decks.
Nice. And that does that still happen during games?
Yeah.
The hot dog heaven?
Yeah, they started that because so that was a game I was supposed to go to with my wife, and she ended up taking my daughter because I had another commitment. And then she sent me a video of this while I'm dealing with my commitment, and I'm like, how did I miss the inauguration of this? This is heartbreaking. But no, it's super cool, and they do it pretty often now.
Cool. Any final places to explore or see in the ballpark besides the outfield, the bullpen area? We talked about that. We talked about the social space, the Hit It Here Club. Anything else that people should see? What about people who like history? Are there any monuments or plaques or things that people should see if they were big Ken Griffey Jr. fans or...
Totally. Yeah, so before you enter the park, we have two statues out there on the one between the park and the parking garage for T-Mobile. We have a statue of Edgar Martinez. That pose is he's lining it into the left field corner for the win. It's the famous 1995 The Double. That's a pretty great statue. Over on the corner of Edgar and Dave, so the home field entrance, you have the statue of Ken Griffey Jr. and his iconic home run blast stance. Once you get into the park, if you come in through the home field entrance, you'll see, if you look up, a chandelier. I can't remember how many bats they have. They may have done something like, I don't know, 200 bats up there. Those are all blown glass from a local artist, Dave Chihuly. Just super, super
yeah.
Cool to see. And then once you come up home plate, hang a left. So like you're going on the third base side of things, and you'll see like the Mariners Hall of Fame. So we have several Mariners in there, to include Ken Griffey, Ichiro, Felix. You'll be able to see and touch some of the cool stuff from the previous All-Star games that we've hosted, as well as a bunch of other really good food. I feel like most places have the wall where you can go and take a still picture of you catching one over the wall. And then in center field is arguably maybe the most important Mariner, Dave Niehaus, our Hall of Fame broadcaster. We have a bronze statue with a desk, and you can actually sit in the desk next to Dave and get your picture taken. He has his playbook out, and I want to say it's the 95 double game that they have that one. So they put a lot of detail into it.
Oh, nice.
But super rad to see that one too.
That's great.
I go and see Dave every time. And then newly put in, that I really personally appreciated was, I think most ballparks are doing this. They have a POW seat out there in the straight dead away center field, which they have roped off, but you can go and check it out and look at it, which is the newest addition to the culture around there.
Cool. I got two more questions for you before I let you go. But the first one is, if people are coming into town on a weekend and they can only go to one game, do you recommend a Friday night, a Saturday? I'm not sure whether you do Saturday nights or Saturday day games in Seattle, or a Sunday afternoon game. What do you recommend if you can only do one?
So there's a couple factors in there for me. The first one would be how's the weather? If it's going to be just a nice summer weekend, Friday or Saturday, for a couple reasons. One, those usually tend to be really nice and warm, which is wonderful to go to, especially in the evening. You would barely need a light jacket. And there's almost always giveaways on Friday and Saturday nights. So if you're looking for an extra little piece of memorabilia for yourself, good way to do it. If you have kids with you, Sundays almost always they have kids run the bases, which is pretty nice. The line can seem daunting, but it goes really fast. And the kids really enjoy it. Plus, they'll have a kids giveaway. So my kids all have their rooms adorned with different posters of Julio and George Kirby and Logan Gilbert. But I honestly, you really can't miss. Like, I hate to sound like such a homer on it, but I mean, truly, like Friday night, you have the City Connects with our softball pants, which, despite those, I love the City Connects, the blue and the yellow. You got the, unfortunately for your audience, you can't see, but I'm wearing my Sunday best creams today for this interview. You really can't go wrong. Like, the Mariners as a product, as a team, they can break your heart a lot, but T-Mobile Park has been a really sustainable, enjoyable time. You know, there's a reason that I spend the money and take my family to go do this.
Aside from the Mariners and the experience with your family, because this is really a ballpark podcast, so I'm talking about the building. What is your favorite thing about T-Mobile Park? Or what do you like to brag about to other people when they come? Like, if I'm in San Francisco, I might say, hey, our waterfront property is the best. When I was in Oakland, I said, hey, I love that you can have a whole section to yourself that you can spread out and put your feet up and sit wherever you want. That was my favorite thing about the Coliseum.
You know, I think that's it's actually kind of a good homogeny between those two parks. So we are right on the waterfront, and if you're on the upper deck facing out, you can see the longshoremen working and the ships coming in and out. But there's also games where you're going to have a lot of elbow room, especially if you're up on the upper deck. You can have most of a section to yourself, and that's kind of what I advertise it. You know, I was formerly in tech, so I would have a lot of friends that come in and out of town. And I'd entice them to go to a game with me because I would say, look, we can go get a couple beers and sit back and relax. And occasionally baseball happens.
Yeah, right.
And that was always just one thing that I've always been super proud of my ballpark is that it's a really good social endeavor. You know, it's great for diehard fans. You'll see lots of folks with the listening to the game and keeping their playbooks. But you also see a lot of fans just kick back and relaxing and catching up with each other. And I love both of those very deeply.
Me too. I absolutely love that about baseball, that it's a time to go and socialize with people that you're with. And then you guys can all at the same time get back into the game when something happens. And it's great. And I did love that about T-Mobile is how much space there was, how much I felt like I could explore and not see everything, so I should come back again for another time to see even more. Thank you so much for joining us, John. John, this has been a really great conversation about T-Mobile Park, and I really appreciate all your insight.
No, thank you for having me. I enjoy your podcast, and I'm definitely going to be utilizing it a little bit more with your when you're done with these rounds.
All right. Thank you, John. Well, now it's the time in the show where we are going to decide how Seattle ranks as a great ballpark road trippin' city. Now, this is totally based on my own personal tastes and interests. I have broken each city we visit into 5 categories to see if it checks all the boxes. Those categories are ballpark, ballpark-related activities, outstanding tourist attraction, local cuisine, and filming location or movie site. 25 points total. Let's see how Seattle does. Ballpark, 5 out of 5. It's a great ballpark to visit. We talked all about it. Ballpark-related activities? What do I mean? Well, are there other things to do when you're there for a ballpark than just go to the game? In Seattle, you can absolutely take a tour, go behind the scenes in the stadium, and see all the luxury suites and the cool places that you can't see when you're just walking around. Ballpark tours are always great. But also, you can go and see a sign and home plate from Six Stadium. Six Stadium is spelled S-I-C-K apostrophe S. And that is where the old Seattle Pilots used to play. It's on the corner of Rainier and South McKellen. It's on the corner of Rainier and South McKellen, right by the Lowe's. So I'll give Seattle 3 out of 5 for those. Tourist attractions? Seattle has a lot of fun things to do while you are waiting for your game. From the Space Needle and Pop Culture Museum to Pike Place Market to an underground Seattle tour, there is no shortage of activities to keep you busy. 5 out of 5. Food. Well, if you like seafood, you're in luck. You got clam chowder. You got great sushi. Seattle is a great place to try some aquatic creatures. 5 out of 5. Filming locations. You know, you could go see the houseboats from Sleepless in Seattle. That's pretty famous. Or, if you rent a car, drive 30 minutes east to the town of Snoqualmie and visit the Salish Lodge on top of Snoqualmie Falls, otherwise known as the Great Northern Hotel from the show Twin Peaks. The hotel at the top of the waterfall is instantly recognizable from the opening credits. If you like Twin Peaks, there are many other places that you can see from the TV show and the movie. 5 out of 5. So that leaves Seattle at 23 out of 25. That's a pretty good ballpark road trip in city. Well, we're almost at the end of the show. But I would like to end by revealing my favorite feature of T-Mobile Park, the one can't-miss aspect from my perspective. I have to say, it's the aforementioned T-Mobile Pen. I spent a lot of time out there watching the game from different vantage points and seeing pitchers warm up in the bullpen from just a few feet away. It's a really fun area, and I definitely will be hanging out there again during my next visit. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this episode. I'd like to thank my guest, John Gunke, for his insight and information. Until next time, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, I'd like to thank my guest, John Gunke, for his insight and information. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at Tours with Jacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.